This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
This is Michael Harlan Turkel, host of The Food Scene. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Eating Disorder. My name is Paul Gerard. Please welcome my co-host, the Reverend Spiro.
Whoop, whoop.
Our other co-host, Crazy Legs Conti, he's traveling, competitively eating.
He's in the desert eating Gila monsters.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I know he said he was going to Arizona, but I'm not sure. He's a terrible speller on emails, and I don't know if he was going for dessert or if he was going to the desert. I'm not completely clear on that.
So, well, how was your week, Paul? How are things in your world?
My world is fantastic. It always is. You know, transcendental meditation really helps me from punching people in the face. It's terrific. I do it twice a day.
Well, since you asked, my week has been
that's another thing. I'm learning how to empathize. I'm not very good at that.
My week has been obsessed with Kim Kardashian.
Apparently, I'm a bad listener.
Well, yeah, and but I am also obsessed with Kim Kardashian.
You're obsessed with Kim Kardashian.
Obsessed.
That's what we were talking about with Marilyn.
Yes, we were. Our friend Marilyn is here.
Our friend Marilyn is filming tonight for our new YouTube channel.
Our new YouTube channel. So Kim Kardashian recently did that paper magazine cover, and one of the images is this old classic image from the 70s that they redid of her with a champagne glass on her ass, and the champagne is popping and flying over her head and into the champagne glass on her ass.
Totally real.
There's no photoshopping at all. But that being said, on page 6 today, they said that Paper Magazine tried to find a sponsor for this, and all the champagne companies were like, I don't think so.
Yeah, of course not. No self-respecting champagne company is going to go for that. But hold on, I want to, Marilyn, can you grab the mic for a second? I want to ask you, what were you saying about Kim Kardashian's ass?
That it looks sweaty and gross, and I wouldn't want to smell it.
But it smells like champagne.
It might smell like champagne or Kanye.
Oh yeah, or Kanye. Yeah, maybe. But I am obsessed with this. They had to actually. They failed so miserably in regards to getting a sponsor for the champagne portion of that photo that they had to blur the champagne brand,
the label,
off. Yeah, the picture.
Good. She shouldn't be getting any more press. We shouldn't be giving it to her either.
I don't know. I kind of liked it. The whole idea was okay. Their whole idea was break the internet. And you know what? That cover and those images have literally exploded. They did exactly what they set out to do, which was get a shitload of traffic. You know, and yeah, all right, there's a lot of people who hate her. There's a lot of people who think she's great, whatever. But they did exactly what they said on the cover in regards to, they didn't break the internet, but man, did they make an impact.
I bet they did. I don't know who thinks she's great. I mean, at what? You know, at showing her ass, big deal.
Yes, that's what she's great at, it's showing her ass. What don't you get? Okay, what don't you get?
I don't know. I'm dumbfounded. So tonight we have a very special guest in the studio today because we are very bad learners about what radio is, and we continue to bring visual guests on. So tonight we have the Master Mystifier, Rogue. Rogue has been amazing audiences for over 20 years and has taught and mentored over 5,000 students, including world-renowned Chris Angel. His brand of magic is a combination of humorous, jaw-dropping, and dangerous, and not ready for radio. He's featured on America's Got Talent and has been showcased in every major newspaper, news programs, and countless magazines. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the Master Mystifier, Rogue.
What's up?
You just announced him like he was Slayer.
Rogue also has a restaurant, a bar in Regal Park, Queens. That's pretty interesting. So tell us, what's the name of your place?
It's the Panda Asian Bistro. And within it, there's a bar called the Rogue Magic Bar, actually.
And you do magic at the bar?
actually, we do close-up magic around the bar in the restaurant. And the second floor is actually a theater that we created to host magic and comedy shows every Friday night.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Do you do tiny cocktail sword swallowing?
That's funny. Actually, we feature like a Halloween ambiance throughout the whole year, and we have like little demons for the cocktails. It's pretty cool.
Nice.
Cool. Yeah, it's kind of cool.
So, is it are all the cocktails and the vibe of the place, aside from magic, is there a theme?
Yes, it's Halloween magic themed. So we have gargoyles and owls, webs throughout the whole place. Very, very dimly lit, black lit. Like I said, a lot of like magic and smoke.
What types of cocktails?
A lot of specialty drinks that actually my fiance created.
Oh, really?
Some magical stuff that actually changes color. It goes on fire, smoke up. They levitate the drinks and stuff like that. It's pretty wild.
Very nice.
And the servers, and you train a lot of the servers as magicians, right?
Yes. The owner of the restaurant, Sam, is a little bit, he's kind of stubborn. I'm trying to train his staff, but they're not taking to it. But my bartenders, the barmaids, they're very up for it. All of them could eat fire. They could do a couple of card tricks. It's pretty cool.
Really?
Yep.
That's pretty impressive.
And I bring in a lot of close-up guys that grew up at the magic shop, and they do walk around throughout the restaurant and the bar to promote the place whenever, you know, they're eating and stuff like that. It's pretty
cool. You've had your magic shop for a while, right?
Yeah, over 14 years.
Also in Rego Park?
No, that's in Elmhurst.
In Elmhurst?
Yes. It's a magic school joke shop. We feature the number one seller, the fart gum. Makes you fart all day after you eat it.
That sounds terrific. Spiro, you must have been eating that since you were a teenager.
No, but where has it been all my life?
why did you mention food?
So that's a trick you give to somebody.
You know. If you eat it yourself, I don't know. That's kind of,
Really work.
Like, oh, wait, okay. No, I got that wrong. I was, you know.
So tell us a little bit about when were you bitten with this magic bug?
6 years old. That's a long time ago. I saw David Copperfield on TV make the Statue of Liberty disappear. And since that day on, I was really, really fascinated. Like a year or two afterwards, I dragged my parents to the library, took out some magic books. And some of them, I guess, I never even returned. And then every year after that, I would beg my parents and my grandparents to buy me like magic tricks for Christmas, birthday gifts. And every chance I got, I performed on the streets. For my family, I would invite everybody to the house. You know, my mom was like, "What the hell are you doing? Inviting all these like bums and stuff to my house?"
Bums like, love magic.
No, you don't talk about people on the street.
No, he's talking about the same people you used to invite to your house, which was me.
Yeah, exactly. I was actually on the way here. I stopped in Dunkin' Donuts to get a coffee, and there was a guy in front of me who was pretty bummy. He looked totally like a bum. And I don't know if he was homeless. He might have had a home, but he looked like he hasn't been there in quite some time. And he ordered a cinnamon coffee. He ordered a cinnamon coffee with half and half and three equals. I thought that was pretty hysterical. Anyway.
Random at least.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Let me ask you a couple of quick questions because, you know, I looked up a lot of your stuff online.
Okay.
And it's funny because we met actually. We were in the waiting room of About.com. And he's an interesting looking individual, not the kind of person I would see when I go on my boring business trips, you know, or business meetings. And he, I'm like, "So what do you do?" And he opens up his wallet and it goes on fire. I'm like, "You have my full attention." And we got to know each other, but you're also on Howlcast. And, you know, one of the things that's a little controversial is you on Howlcast, and the whole thing about Howlcast is how you do stuff.
Correct.
And you've been showing tricks. And during the broadcast, I guess, you go ahead and show people how to do these simple tricks.
Yeah, do some revealing, yes.
Yeah, which now that's caused a little bit of controversy.
Definitely.
From some angles. I mean,
I feel that now. Actually, just recently. It's been out for almost 3 years.
Yeah.
And now I'm feeling it.
Really?
But I feel that revealing is not bad if it's done correctly because I own a magic shop.
Right.
I make my bread and butter selling magic, so for me to reveal tricks is actually not that good. But I feel that the more magicians there are, the more, you know, magic is a focus and people are interested in. They will come to a magic shop to buy magic because a lot of people can't afford a magic tricks. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I've been getting a lot of people from around the world, like Europe and from Africa, that actually, little kids that thank me for actually teaching them magic. They're not going to come to New York to buy tricks from me.
Well, yeah. If I can add, the tricks that you show are all with common objects.
Yes,
there's no kit. that, you know, there's pencils and styrofoam cups.
Correct. No, the most important thing is that they're public domain.
Yeah.
Nobody owns the rights to these tricks, and if I did know the name, I would give them credit. But the thing is that I feel that these are really, really old, mm-hmm. and that the more I reveal the old stuff, the more there's room for magicians to actually create new stuff. That's what I feel. And actually about that time, I revealed some of my pet effects. Okay. The things that I do on a regular basis, I might be actually doing them one of them tonight.
Okay.
But I feel that doesn't matter if you know the secret. It's all about the presentation.
What's pet effects? Is that like making a little kid disappear?
Oh.
No, little cats and dogs.
Okay.
No, pet effects basically. Oh, you understand. Okay. You're being sarcastic.
So who's your favorite now? Who dazzles you? Who makes you excited about the magic that's happening now?
Believe it or not, it's still David Copperfield. He's still number one. But of course, I love Amazing.
Is he still active?
Yes, he is. He does like 500, over 500 shows a year in Vegas, though. He doesn't really travel the world like that because he's getting a little older.
Is he making Botox disappear?
That's funny. They said he actually invented discovered the Fountain of Youth because he's like 65, but he looks like he's 40.
Yeah, he looks pretty good.
But that's an illusion.
That's an illusion. That's an illusion.
Hey, listen, I love Copperfield. I liked, what's his name, too? Who was, I loved Doug Henning when I was a kid.
Oh, I used to love Doug Henning.
Doug Henning.
Oh, Doug Henning's amazing.
I saw him on Broadway.
He was more rock and roll than...
He paved the way for Copperfield.
Yeah, and he was a hippie.
Yes, he was.
You know, sometimes I couldn't tell the difference between him and Gallagher.
Right.
You know, it's like I never knew which was which, you know. I'm like, hey, is Doug Henning going to smash a watermelon?
Yeah, I saw him on Broadway.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
That's awesome.
So what are you going to do for us today? What are we going to dazzle the people, the radio listeners at home with today? But luckily, the people here at Roberta's get to see it through the huge pane glass.
I'll do some close-up and personal effects for you if you want to see them.
Very nice. I would love to. Oh, wait. Let me ask you something real quick. Just today, right before you came in, you were having a little Twitter beef with somebody, right? And it kind of goes back to your revealing.
Oh, yeah. Let me actually finish, actually. So apparently, some of the effects are not mine. But I feel that, you know, especially the one we were talking about on Twitter, on Facebook, it's something I've been doing since I was a kid. It's a move. I'm not revealing the trick as per se, because there's an effect that incorporates the move, but it's also a marketed effect, so it's a personalized object. I don't want to go into details. I don't want to name any names. I don't want anybody getting, like, offended.
Not naming any
names.
I feel it's no big deal, really.
Well,
it's not.
On the Facebook, for anybody who was on the Facebook page earlier, one, I do apologize for any of the comments that any certain individual who should not be named put on there. Secondly, if anyone ever puts up a racist or homophobic comment on our Facebook page, we got a magic trick. We're going to find you, and we're going to make you disappear.
Oh, that's right.
Okay?
You're right. He did make a... that's not cool.
But, yeah, that does not fly. I mean... We love beef on Facebook from the stand. Like, our friend Pete Vasquez, me and him go at it all the time. We love you, Pete. Please keep coming back. Keep giving it to us. But yeah, none of that. That doesn't fly.
Doesn't fly.
But what we were thinking was, like, is this like an East Coast, West Coast thing with the magicians? Is there going to be a magician drive by? This guy's going to throw pigeons at you out of a van.
Doves,
exactly.
Pigeons. No, okay. Have you had trouble with this guy before?
No, I have not.
Well, what's the community like? I mean, is there a lot of... how competitive is it?
Actually, it's a very small community.
Okay.
But there definitely is competition, but people just don't want to say it. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Because, you know, what it comes down to is, you know, you're a magician, I'm a magician, and, you know, if you get the gig before me, then, you know, I can't get the money. You know what I'm saying? That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
But, you know...
It's still the entertainment business.
Exactly. Everybody's family, but, you know, there's going to be some controversy and stuff like that.
Let me ask you a question. What are some of the bigger rooms you've ever played?
The biggest room I ever played was Madison Square Garden.
Get out. Really?
Really?
Yeah, America's Got Talent.
Oh, okay, right. You were in America's Got Talent.
Wow, over 5,000 people. It was the best. Seriously, I can't
I didn't
wait.
Realize that was
I can't wait to go
shot
back.
At MSG.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Wow.
So, do you use MSG at your restaurant?
You're a funny guy.
So, what's the deal with that now? I saw the clip on YouTube where you did the staple gun trick, and you have the woman. What was it? Staple gun roulette.
Yes.
Right. Which was pretty awesome.
Thank you.
And they all voted for you, and you come back on. Has the rest of the season been shot? When was that done?
No. Basically, what happened was all the celebrity judges passed me. Mm-hmm. They wanted to see more of me. But they changed the producers on me because my producer really loved my act. And they changed the producer on me last minute, and the new producer didn't know me from a hole in the wall. And she goes, Well, Rogue, there are actually too many magicians this year. Too many acts to choose from. But we'll keep you in mind for next season.
Okay, that can go fuck itself.
No. But, what I did, I didn't want to wait around. So I took the liberty of actually trying out for AGT again, which I did my act. I did a new act to the talent scouts. I actually got to the front of the line because I told them I was on TV. Right? I said, "Oh, go, whatever." So I passed, and they sent me on to the executive judges, and they filmed it for the producer. So they said that in February, the latest, I'll find out if I go on TV again.
That's great.
I can't wait.
Doesn't suck as bad.
That's pretty good. I don't know.
No, that's.
I really don't care if I won though. The exposure was incredible. Yeah. I used to have one show a week at most. Now I have like maybe 3-4 shows a week. It's incredible.
Seriously. Where are you performing mostly?
Mostly all over New York City, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah. Private and public parties.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty cool, actually.
It's very good.
I've been to Daily News, New York Times, New York One, everywhere, just because of Madison Square Garden.
Right, and seriously. Okay, back to the community for a second. Like, what's the... Okay. Are there magic nerds who show up, like, you know, and are there, like, magic groupies?
Yeah, they are, actually.
Really?
You mean, like, the ones that do magic or the ones that just watch magic?
Hey, well, let's play Make the Sausage Disappear.
That's a different kind of show. Hide the Sausage.
No, that's exactly this kind of show. That's what we talk about all the time. But, no, really, what kind of girls
Yeah, what's a magic groupie like?
Wait, what question?
What's a magic groupie like?
Yeah.
You mean the ones that do magic, the ones that just come and just to watch every single show?
Well, maybe they do magic, but maybe they just like being around it. You know, like are there fans, like people who are fanatic enough that just keep coming?
Yes, there are guys that actually buy every single trick that's released. They have this money to throw around, but they never perform any magic. And there are those guys that don't do any magic. They have a closet full of magic. And they come to every show just to watch magicians perform.
I like that line. The closet full of magic.
They do. They
We're
do.
We're going to save that for a pride show.
I need to get myself a closet full of magic.
I've seen a lot of those guys at the magic shop and the bar. They just hang out just to watch the shows, and they come religiously. It's awesome.
And look,
that's how you create like a fan base.
But I know you have a fiance. But I mean, when you didn't, you know,
yes.
First, has your fiance been with you the whole time we were doing magic?
No, of course not. Okay. It's just like a year and a half.
Did you use it as a pickup?
Yeah, trust me. Everything I've gotten that means something to me was because of magic. That's why I'm very thankful, and I would never give this art up. Never.
Did you do the whole like ring behind the ear thing, like when you proposed to her? Were you like, "What's behind your ear? Ooh, hey, look at that."
No, not that.
I noticed
stereotypical.
One of the blurbs I read about you, it says, even though his plate is pretty full and he gets very busy at times, Rogue still struggles to pay his bills and has personal demons that he must fight.
Yeah, I just had to add that because, you know, it sounds like, wow, this guy's incredible. He's a billionaire. No, I'm not. I just love what I do.
Well, you're not a junkie or anything?
No. You mean drugs?
What are the demons? What are the personal demons? Or are you like fighting them like
that's a little private.
Are you fighting them like World of Warcraft?
Yeah, World of Warcraft. That's have a lot of personal issues, actually. Everybody does, though.
Yeah, join the fucking club.
Join the fucking club, exactly.
Me and Spiro are fine. We have nothing.
No, we've yeah. never. No. We've
reached perfection.
Clean slate. I'm a born again. Born again.
Born again.
So let's get back to your magic. What do you got going for us tonight?
Okay, I'm going to start off with a I call this one of my hottest illusions right here. One of my hottest illusions.
Oh. Nice. He opens up his wallet and fire comes.
No, but seriously, I always right say I have money to burn. Seriously, I could back that up, though. Seriously, look what I got right here. I have $5.
Okay.
I still get allowance. Watch. $1, $2, $3, $4, $5. Spiro, make sure that's real, though. You don't really make fake ones, right?
No, it's pretty real.
But guys, can you really buy much nowadays with $5?
Nah.
Not really, right?
No, you can't even buy one bag of heroin. It costs $10.
That's why I do magic. Watch, just like that, turns into $500. Here, make sure that's
real. Get the fuck out of here.
That's enough. I felt that grip. No, but you know what they say, right? Easy come, easy go. See, it's only $5.
That's pretty good.
No, seriously. If I had $500, I wouldn't be in debt.
Oh, no way. You just literally, you just made it into five notes. I know. Check our YouTube channel later. You'll be able to see that trick live. Not live. Recorded.
We're starting to get the hang of it. That was pretty impressive, man.
That was really
pretty good.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. Because while you're doing the trick with him, I'm trying over here. I'm trying to catch you. I'm trying to look at the sleight of hand. I didn't see anything.
Oh, cool. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it was very, very good.
Are you clinically blind? Want to see more?
Yes. Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
Did you bring the balloon that I asked you to bring last week?
Why does that sound dirty to me? No. No.
Not the one you smuggled in your, you know.
No, I didn't. I didn't bring any balloons. It's in my closet of magic.
You forgot it, didn't you?
I did forget the balloon.
All right. You're lucky I came prepared. No, no, relax. It's a balloon.
It's a balloon. It came out of your wallet. I'm like, yo.
Do you mind? Do you mind blowing that up for me? Make sure.
No, find a nickel for every time someone said that to me.
Don't worry. It's clean. I washed it twice this morning.
Yeah, it's just a piece of rubber that's been in your wallet for quite some time. I'd be happy to put it in my mouth. Thank you.
Nice and big. Nice and big.
Let's go.
Big, big, big.
Go, smoker, go.
Oh, I got to stop smoking.
Okay. And can I borrow somebody's cell phone? I'll give it right back. Awesome. That's very convenient.
I just gave this man my cell phone.
Keep going.
And Paul is struggling to get this balloon.
Don't worry. It goes up to 1,000 inches.
Yeah, that's what they all
that's
say.
That's what he said. Keep going.
Should I tie in a knot?
No, keep going.
Bigger. Spiro. Hold your ears.
Okay.
Keep going. Stop. You're crazy. Stop.
No, tie it in a knot?
No, don't tie it yet. All right. Very importantly, Spiro, this is your cell phone, right?
Yeah.
If I asked you to put the cell phone through this hole, could you do it?
Women have asked me questions like that. No, I cannot do that.
I'll be honest. You probably could, but it'll take time. It's a small hole. Through the bottom, is that possible?
Through the bottom, not unless it's osmosis.
Nope. Watch this. I'm going to defy the laws of science. Okay. Watch this.
Hold on 1 second.
Watch. Just count to three very slowly, okay, Spiro?
One.
It's the only way he can count to three.
Two. Three.
Oh, this is amazing.
No fucking way. The man just put
this is pretty amazing.
The man just put my phone in.
The phone went right through the rubber into the balloon.
Oh no.
And now it is.
I need you to blow that back up.
Sexually protected.
I can't blow it up now, otherwise I get cooties. So here, blow it up.
Blow it up again?
Yeah, blow it up.
Yeah, but Spiro's phone is inside. So.
And there's definitely cooties on that.
That's good. Tie it up.
Come on, Paul. Awesome. You can do it.
Awesome. Nice. It's inside right there, right, Spiro?
Yeah.
The only way to get it out is actually ripping it. And actually, you can take it out yourself. Do you know what this is called, guys?
No.
It's called safe text.
Hey.
And the only
cover it up.
The only reason why I didn't blow it up, because I didn't want my cooties on your phone. It's his cooties.
Yeah, his phone's already fucked. It's Spiro's phone. You realize whose phone it is?
Thank you very much.
That thing's like a fucking Petri dish.
Yeah, absolutely. That was amazing.
No, leave it on. It's safe. Yeah.
I can't take it out.
No, you could if you want to, but why? It's a nice souvenir.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break for station identification. We're going to come back with a couple more tricks for the folks at home who love radio magic. Who doesn't love radio magic?
Radio magic. That sounds crazy. You can hear the illusions.
No, really, the Statue of Liberty's gone.
Super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
Hey, what's up? This is John Norris, and you're listening to the Heritage Radio Network.
All right, everybody, welcome back.
Yep, we're back.
back with the radio magic. That's what we're known for, Spiro.
Well,
our
next
radio
week is
going to
be radio ventriloquism. After that, we're doing mimes.
Radio mimes. We just don't learn. We never learn. I mean, my father told us that when we were like 15. We never learn.
Yep.
Still not learning.
Oh, yeah, we're still the same. We're still hard-headed.
So we are here with Rogue. Rogue is a magician. He has a restaurant, a bar in Rego Park, and a shop, a school, and a theater.
Yes.
You're doing pretty well. The magic is really taking you places. It's pretty good.
So, pretty cool.
Well, what I wanted to maybe talk about was, if I hadn't met you, you know, randomly, I wouldn't be thinking of places to go see magic in New York.
Really?
Like, wow. Well, I mean, look, I'm going to admit, I don't like a lot of reality TV. I do love the show on Sci-Fi with Penn and Teller, mm-hmm. where they talk about whether the tricks are, you know...
They figure it out.
If they figure it out. But they never reveal it. They just say if they figured it out or not, and they whisper in it. But I like those. I love watching it. But I never think about it as something to do live. I mean,
magic's awesome.
But if I wanted to see it in New York, where would I go? I mean, we obviously your place, which is in Queens, and I am a new Queens resident, yeah. So I have newly found Queens pride. But where else could you see magic in New York?
Actually, one of my actually good friends I just met actually like a couple of weeks ago. His name is Max Siebert. He's mm-hmm. a sideshow performer. Mm-hmm. He has his own show now at Times Square.
Oh.
Every
That's in
Saturday
42nd
night,
Second Street.
Yep, every Saturday night at 7 p.m.
Okay,
and after that you can actually go to the bar, and they also have a haunted house year round. It's pretty cool.
Check it's kind of moved from regular venues and theaters out into the street more in New York, huh? I remember in New Orleans, it was all over the place. There were so many different magic performers and street performers. It was amazing.
Yes,
and some of the stuff they do, you know, right there on the street in front of you is pretty amazing. Do you do a lot of street performing?
Actually, I personally do. I just promote the shop and the bar. I've been going out for, you know, like a couple of decades already. 42nd Street, I used to stop traffic, and cops used to, you know, tell me to, you know, scoot along because I'm creating havoc.
I bet if I went to your bar, you'd make my job disappear.
Make your job disappear.
Well, question. You know, I don't know if this is a reveal or not, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Because I don't know if this is an illusion or a, what was the proper word again? An effect.
An effect.
Yeah. Tell us the difference between magic and tricks. You don't necessarily like to hear a trick, huh?
Basically, a trick just sounds like I'm going to trick you, I'm going to fool you. We don't want to do that. We want to entertain you. So it's magic. It's an effect. It's an illusion. Sounds much better, actually.
What about wizard? You like wizardry?
I'm going to do some wizardry? That's cool. That's cool. I don't care.
I love that he mocked you with his tone alone. It was awesome. Okay, but on the street promoting, I saw a couple of clips on your Facebook page where you're blowing fire. Now, I'm a big Kiss fan, you know, from years back. I'm a big metal fan. I've always loved, you know, when Gene Simmons, even though I think he's a dick these days, you know, would do the thing and he would take the fire and he would blow it out. What is that? Like, what are you blowing out of your mouth? I mean, is that
wait, you saw me blowing fire? No, you didn't see me because I didn't learn it yet.
No.
I eat fire.
Oh, I see.
My fiance blows fire.
Oh, your fiance. Yeah, okay. It was your fiance blowing fire.
Yeah, blowing fire like.
If I knew my fiance was blowing anybody but me, I'd be pissed.
That guy fire. He's a hot dude.
That fucking guy. I'm going to kick fire's ass.
Well, okay, what is that? I mean, is it lighter fluid? I mean, what are you using to blow fire?
It's actually a trade secret. You know, I can't reveal it because that's something that's guarded. But it's dangerous.
151.
It is dangerous.
151 rum.
It is dangerous.
Well,
actually,
I mean, 150.
Because any wind that comes toward the flame, and that's it. You're
especially
gonna be,
if you've
you're
got a beard like
burnt
I
toast.
Do, or, yeah,
facial hair especially. Yeah.
what's your what's the big thing that you're working on that you always want to do? What's the one trick that you've seen that you just think is amazing and really want to nail it?
It's not any trick that I really want to do. I think
or
I
effect,
want to,
effect. I'm sorry.
No. I mean, I don't understand. I understand where you're coming from. It's not one effect that I really want to do. It's just that I want to get into illusions, big stage illusions, like making people disappear.
You start with Spiro.
You want to make me disappear? It's easy. Put the pizza over there.
Make people float off the ground. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. I want to get into that maybe.
Can you do anything?
I do a lot of close-up stuff now and stage stuff, but nothing like grand illusion like Copperfield.
What was the deal with the guy I saw on your site? He has six fingers, but he pulls it off his hand. But
actually,
that's an actual six-finger hand. Yeah?
I'm not going to reveal anything, but his name is Six, and he's one of the kids that actually grew up at the magic shop. And like I said, right now, he's a creator of magic. He writes books on magic. And he travels around the world actually doing magic for a company called Magicians Without Borders. So
that's pretty amazing.
It's pretty amazing. So it's a nonprofit, I'm assuming?
Yes, exactly.
Can you tell us a little bit about that? What is it?
Basically, they travel around the world, like Guatemala and El Salvador, and they do magic to underprivileged children and stuff. It's pretty cool.
That is cool. I like that idea.
Pretty honorable, yes, definitely.
Yeah, and I find it to be a lot more fun than Doctors Without Borders. What would you like, a shot or a magic trick?
Yeah, they need them both.
Yeah, I know, they do.
They need them both. So what else are we going to see tonight that we can put on YouTube?
You know what? I feel like I feel like I'm bonding with you guys. I feel so close to you.
That's what we do. We bond.
I feel like borrowing some money from you, actually.
You want to borrow money from me? Hey, I only carry plastic. He's the one with the cash.
You have a $100 bill? I'll give it right back.
$100? I don't have $100, no.
How about a $50?
I don't have a $50.
How about a $20?
Let's see what I got left. Hold on.
Beggars can't be choosers, right?
I got a $5.
I could send you some with Chase Quick Pay if you'd like.
I got a $10. Nobody else? Right there. Oh, the posse comes up with a 20.
Nice.
Oh, wow. Now we know who to follow after the show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, his boys are rolling in here with some cash.
That's right.
Okay, I don't want to touch that, actually. Paul, I want you to sign the bill. I want you to write your initials on his forehead.
This reminds us, we should ask Heritage Radio for a raise because we're just...
No, sign his forehead.
You want me to sign his forehead? Yeah, I'm going to sign Ben Franklin's forehead with my John Hancock.
Yeah. All right, Paul.
All right, there you go.
Paul, you're going to be going to jail.
I'm going to be going to jail? No, it's not the first time I've heard that.
No, because writing on U.S. currency is illegal.
Yes, it is. It is.
No, but we're not going to tell anybody. Nobody saw this.
Right. I have a really good lawyer.
No, I'm just kidding, actually. Watch.
Okay.
Regular
bill. We're looking at the bill.
Showing us the bill.
Very importantly, Paul, do you know what money's made out of?
Money is made out of, it's not quite paper, it's actually cloth. It's a fibrous cloth.
Nice. Monetary fibers, you're good.
Right.
You went to school, that's good.
I did go to school, sometimes.
Okay. I know this is not your bill, but do you think I could put a hole through this $1 bill? Do you think I could do that?
If you want to risk the federal government coming down on you, I'd say go for it.
Don't worry, I'm going to put a hole right through the single, okay? Just like that.
The single?
It was $100.
It's a $100 bill.
Just making sure you guys are not drunk. Wow, you see the hole, right?
Yes.
In the $100
right
bill.
Right through Ben Franklin's cheek.
You see the
Your
hole.
Your posse's
come
looking
close.
Worried.
Come close. You can smell the hole, too. No, come close. Wow, you're smart.
Come on, you're going to leave me open for that?
You're smart.
I'll jump all over that.
Never smell the hole. You're very smart.
That's all I do is smell the hole.
Watch. Do you like holes in money? Not really, right?
I don't care.
No, but... Technically, no, right? Watch. Don't try to home. Watch. You massage the bill.
Oh, this is getting sexual.
Pull it right out. The hole heals up just...
Let me see this.
Get the fuck.
Let me see this thing. This guy just shoved a pen right through the center of a dollar bill, and yes, there is absolutely no hole in this $100
bill. $100
bill.
Give my friend back his $10 bill if you don't mind.
That was pretty impressive.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That's pretty impressive. Can you do that with human beings?
That'll be on the, Playboy channel. All right.
Well, okay,
question.
Yeah. All right, so back a little bit back more to the community. Do you guys trade tricks? Do you like say, hey, I'll show you this if you, I'll show you mine if you show me yours?
Definitely. It's called sessioning.
Yeah, really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Sessioning. Of course. Because
like musicians
has...
say jamming.
Yeah.
Magicians say sessioning.
Mugicians.
Wizards.
A magician that sings. A musician.
Hey, Paul, I mean, same question to you, Paul. Do chefs do this? Do chefs, like, session?
Trade
secrets,
we're pretty much just assholes.
Yeah, but do you ever trade, like, hey, how did you make this dish or how did you do this dish?
You revealed that roast chicken. You let people know on Bon Appetit's website.
And then there's a drive-by and they throw forks at you.
No, I mean, chefs, yeah, I mean, we talk about things, but chefs are pretty hardcore about, holding on to their stuff and... You know, I mean, everybody knows how to cook it, but you know, like the ideas and all that stuff. It's not a very communal thing.
Well, yeah, like Rogue has his effects. Like you have certain signature dishes. I've been eating your cooking since I was freaking 15. So I know like there's certain things that you've developed over the years that people come to you to see. So it's do you feel that the magicians have you know, Paul has kind of a menu that he's developed in his head that's his style. You know, is there a thing like, are there certain people who create a style that is indicative to them? Maybe you could talk about like what would you say your style would be like?
Some style performing?
Yeah, it's not
absolutely. Yeah, that's what makes a good magician, a one that actually has a personality and a character. If you don't have a character, you're going to be like like everybody else.
Right.
You have to stand out, whether it's the look, the performing style, the delivery and stuff like that. It all melds. Meshes.
And, absolutely.
And, well, and especially from the comedic aspect. I mean, we've back in the David Copperfield heyday, that wasn't a lot of comedy. You know, we'd watch Copperfield, maybe
he's a pretty funny guy, actually.
He was, but you know, when we watched those big specials, it really wasn't, the comedy wasn't the focus.
Yeah, but that's not really his thing. He's an illusionist.
Correct.
Right. He's not there to get a chuckle out of you.
But right now I'm seeing more and more and more the magicians, at least the ones I see on TV and the ones I'm exposed to, are two things. One, they are shifting into that sideshow performer thing.
Yep.
Where the geekery, like we were just talking, you're learning how to eat glass right now.
Correct. That's impressive, though, because the geek magic's the magic that's the most real, because it is real. You're really eating glass. Everything's examinable. So if you have some hecklers, you're like, you try this. You know what I'm saying? It's the best.
Here, let me try it for you. Here.
It's the best way to shut people up, basically.
I bet.
That's why people like to do that.
And the other aspect of it is comedy. I'm seeing much more. Yep. I think that's, you mentioned the amazing Jonathan.
Yeah, I love him. He's incredible.
Who I love as well, yeah.
Yep. It's very important to make somebody laugh, because if you're too serious and you mess up a trick, you're a fool. But if I'm laughing and I mess up, doesn't matter. I'm laughing at myself.
Right,
it's cool.
Right. It's all
so
a good
it's
time.
Much better.
It's all a good time.
Yeah, you can't take it too seriously.
You're first generation Chinese American, right? First generation.
Yes, I am.
Your parents are from China.
Correct.
How did they feel about your taking on magic, and is it popular in China?
Actually, right now it's very popular. It's like thousands of magic shops, apparently.
Really?
I'm serious. Yeah, and there's a street performing and stuff, and it's crazy. But my parents are pretty supportive. They, not meaning that they told me to do it. Like, oh, you got to do this. They'd rather me be a doctor or a lawyer, but they never like discouraged me. They never said don't do it, so which was good. They came to all my magic shows and stuff. It was pretty cool.
That's good. Have they come to the restaurant?
Actually, my mom just passed away a few months ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, she did come for a couple of times. She saw one of my shows at the restaurant, and then you know that's it. She never saw me go to America's Got Talent, which I'm pretty disappointed about, because basically, all my life doing magic, to her, even though she didn't say it verbally, she felt like, you know what, you know, I'm happy that you're doing it and you're making a living doing it, but it's not secure in her mind. It's not secure. It's not something you could actually rely on.
Well, that's like our parents, too. I mean, you know, we were musicians when we were young, and it was like, well, you know, of course this is a great hobby, but, you know, you're never going to make a living at it. You're going to die starving, blah, blah, blah. You're going to suffer. I don't think my mom ever didn't want me to be a musician, but she didn't want me to suffer.
Gotcha.
Right.
Exactly, you know how she felt. So when she passed away and she didn't see, you know, my first performance at Madison Square Garden, I felt kind of sad, because this, I feel, is my my path. I feel that, you know, now I'm really going up the stairs. Before I was like, you know, like just on the floor. Now I'm actually going up. I feel like the shows are increasing, more publicity. I'm getting more and more popular. That's how it starts, actually.
And I think your generation is much more of a generation that follows their passions rather than going out and getting the job and then working for 30, 40 years and getting the gold watch. You could just walk down the street and take the fucking gold watch from somebody.
Yeah,
and then smash it in a napkin
and give it back.
And then hide it and then make it into a guinea pig.
that's all the time we have for tonight. But Rogue, thank you very much for coming down. If you'd like to plug anything or tell anybody exactly
over,
where
I had
to
two
go,
two more effects for you.
You got two more effects?
Can we do it?
Let's bang them out.
I didn't know. Because
let's do one more, and then we'll do one more after the show. We'll do it like in the audience, the dining area. What do we got?
It is a food and drink show, so I want you to make sure these are from the restaurant.
All right, we got a couple of tumblers.
Yes, these are definitely bar shakers.
Bar shakers, yeah.
I have a deck that you know, my idiot friend actually shuffled earlier. I said to shuffle them. Look, he shuffled them face down into face up. He goes, look, they're kind of messed up. Look at this. Do you see this? These cards are like messed up. Face up, face down. Do you see this?
Yes, the whole card. The whole deck of cards is all messed up.
It's all
some
messed
face up.
Some
yeah, they're down. Go. They're sideways.
They're all messed up, see? Because of my idiot friend over there.
Okay.
You see this, right?
Yep, we can see that.
It's horrible. But anyway, we're going to put it inside the cup.
All right, so the cards are going into the tumbler.
Make a cocktail. Actually, no, it's a card tail. We can just mix these up just like
I've made a lot of bottles of bourbon disappear.
just like that.
In my career.
There you go.
All right, we are shaking
Paul,
the cards in the tumbler.
Shake them up, shake them up. Let Spiro do this one. I'm getting to have all the fun. I got to blow up the balloon. I got to poke holes in money.
All right. What am I doing?
Spiro, just name any cards you want.
Any card?
Yeah, in the deck.
The six of diamonds.
Do you want to change your mind?
Is that my final answer? No.
You don't have to. Just keep in mind we're not picking shoes.
Four clubs.
Do you want to change your mind again? It's totally up to you. I don't care.
King of spades.
We're going to be here all night.
Yeah, we're going to be here all night. It's very indecisive.
No, why do you do this? I have no attention span.
Pick a card.
I just want to be satisfied that I didn't force the card on you.
Four of diamonds.
Final answer?
Four of diamonds.
You don't want to change it?
Don't want to change it.
Paul, how fair was that? He changes mine 1,000 times.
I know, he does.
Four diamonds.
Watch.
It's crazy.
Wait.
I've been in a relationship with this guy for years.
Wait,
so hard.
Oh, we're shaking.
Done. Do you believe me?
I believe that you were holding tumblers with cards inside. Okay,
this is incredible, actually. Watch this. It's crazy. See, these cards are all facing one way right now, right?
Yeah.
Yes or no?
Well, yeah,
there's one
all...
card right here that's actually a different way. You see it?
Yeah.
This is crazy. Pull that out.
Oh, come on.
This is incredible. Yeah.
And it is the Four of Diamonds.
That was amazing. So he puts the deck of cards in there. It's all mixed up. And then he takes it out. And then there it is. There's his card.
Making a card tail.
It's like magic mixology.
All right, and we'll save the last trick for after the show, which you will be able to see on our new YouTube channel.
Yes. Okay. Yes, Ro. Yeah. Thank you very much
for coming out.
We really appreciate
man.
Having you. We'll send everybody out to Panda Asian Restaurant. And
Panda Asian Bistro.
Panda Asian Bistro. 9525
Queens Boulevard.
Ego Park.
Scenic Rego Park.
Rogue Magic Bar. Go see Rogue, perform some magic, and get your drink on.
Oh, thanks for joining us. Like the fan page, please.
Take care, guys.
Take care.
Have a good night.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.